Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
In the Green Scene today, how contagious yawning is not unique to humans or even to primates. But first, fig trees turning CO2 to stone. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
This is intriguing.
Yeah.
Take the CO2 and turn it into a stone.
Exactly, because we're all used to hearing about trees as the great carbon capturers that we have, you know, turning CO2 into wood and leaves and all of the things, fruit. But this is a different pathway, so not that normal photosynthetic pathway. And this pathway, it's called the oxalate carbonate pathway, and it's been known about for about 20 years. It was first discovered in African hardwood trees, but it's now been discovered for the first time in a fruit-bearing tree, the Kenyan fig tree. And this is really interesting because it gives the opportunity to capture carbon but also produce a viable crop at the same time.
So what is the process?
So the process is essentially the same thing. The trees capture the carbon, but they produce little sort of calcium oxalate crystals, and then there's microbes in the tree and in the soil that convert that to calcium carbonate. So exactly like the shell of a mollusk in the sea, like a limpet or a mussel, it's calcium carbonate, and it's essentially locked away then for centuries. So unlike wood, which can often burn or decay and the carbon dioxide goes back into the atmosphere, this is a much more stable way to lock carbon away for many, many years.
So it's locked in the fig tree. I mean, it's not in the fruit.
It's locked in the fig tree. And this is what's so incredible about this study, which was done by teams out in Nairobi and in Zurich and in the US. So they were out in Samburu County in Kenya. And the first thing they did, they squirted hydrochloric acid on the fig trees, and they were looking at lots of different trees. And of course, they saw bubbles, because when you dissolve limestone, there was limestone inside the tree. And then they looked at how much limestone was in the soil around the tree. And then they took slices of wood and they took them to an X-ray synchrotron in Berkeley in California. And this is like a very high sort of powered X-ray. And they could see these tiny pockets of limestone deep inside the wood of the tree and on the outside of the tree. And the trees are perfectly healthy. It doesn't impact on them. I mean, they're not becoming petrified. They're not turning into stone trees.
They're healthy trees.
They're healthy trees, but there's little tiny pockets of stone throughout the tree. And of course, they accumulate more and more as they get older.
If you chop them down and burn them, you release the carbon again.
Well, the stone, probably not. I mean, it will still stay there in the soil or in the ashes, wherever it's been burned. So this is...
Or you'll end up with cement.
Or you could end up with cement. But I think what's interesting here is that, you know, if we think about sort of agroforestry, I mean, years ago, scientists said if we planted a billion trees, we could solve the climate crisis. But of course, many tree planting projects have run into real difficulties because young saplings have not survived things like wildfires or, you know, really those plantations haven't been maintained. But as we learn more about the value of trees in capturing carbon and the different ways they can do it, we can perhaps integrate this into our policy making around forestry.
I mean, one of the worries about forestry is that it seems wildfires are part of the whole process.
They are indeed. And we're seeing now forests releasing more carbon than they're capturing because of fires. So we kind of need to rethink how we're doing it. And of course, we have to protect the trees that are already here.
So any prospect of growing fig trees here? We may not have figs, but we could have the trees.
I mean, I guess like olive trees, you grow them here, they don't tend to give you olives, but they can grow. But maybe with increasing temperatures, we might see figs here yet.
Mm. Now, let's move on to yawning. And you were saying, as you were preparing to talk about yawning, you couldn't stop yawning.
I know. I'm worried I'll be yawning in the middle of this because it is totally contagious to me anyway. And we've known about this for ages. I mean, humans, we all know it's contagious, but it's contagious in other mammals. You know, we might yawn if we see our dog or cat yawning. And we know that dogs also can catch yawns from us. So one study showed that it was a small study, nearly 30 dogs, but about 20 of them yawned when they saw a human yawning, but not when they saw a human just opening their mouth and closing their mouth. So it was the yawn that was contagious.
I always associate yawning in the dogs as a sign of guilt.
Oh, maybe.
They're trying to deflect in some way.
And we used to think that it was about getting more oxygen into your brain when you were tired, but apparently not. There's no evidence.
So do we know why we yawn?
Well, I mean, we think now it could be about synchronizing our behavior. So it's about sending some kind of signal that we're in a group together. And it may have something to do with brain temperature. That's some of the new thinking. Is it because we do see more yawning in high temperatures, but we don't really know for sure.
I mean, obviously someone yawns first.
Someone has to yawn first. I know,
for
it's
the
like
contagion
the chicken
happen.
And the egg. Yeah. But we always thought it was confined to warm-blooded mammals. But new research has shown now that yawning could even be contagious in fish. Now, you might say to me, do fish even yawn at all?
Yeah, but I mean, how do you know when they're opening their gob, whether they're absorbing some plankton or whether
they're exactly. yawning? So what we're seeing is yawn behavior that looks like us. So fish will open their mouth incredibly wide, wider than when they're just doing normal breathing. You'll see a stretching in their muscles around the side. And like when we yawn, their mouth snaps closed. So the next time you yawn, and see how quickly your mouth closes. It sort of snaps shut. So this research, they had zebrafish in a tank, which are often used to study fish, and they videoed them to identify the difference between a yawn and just a wide open mouth or a breathing. And then they trained an AI system to be able to identify when the fish were yawning or just breathing. And they then played videos to schools of zebrafish, either showing them just normal open mouth breathing or yawning. And they found that zebrafish were much more likely to yawn when they were played a video.
They were triggered. The yawning in the zebrafish by showing them a video
of a yawning zebrafish, and showing them a video of a zebrafish just opening and closing their mouth breathing didn't create the same behaviour. And what was interesting, because zebrafish, they kind of tend to dart around in a group, when they saw the yawn, they were more likely to change direction as a group as well, which suggests that the yawning does have some kind of signalling mechanism in fish.
Okay. How do people get funding for this kind of research?
Well, one of the things that we said, we don't know what it's for, but we're interested in studying fish behaviour. One, because they're an animal that we farm, so we want to understand stress and well-being in fish. And of course, some people like dogs and cats. Some people have fish as pets, and they're also interested in studying them. But often this is part of broader neuroscience research, or when we're trying to understand other things that are going on, and these things we find out on the side, which can be a great part of curiosity-driven
research. I yawned 4 times since you started talking about it.
Well, I managed not to, so I'm delighted.
Fig trees. We live in Carlo. We have a fig tree in our garden. It has produced lots of large figs for the past 5 years. We have to get to them before the birds do.
Well, there you go. Food for birds. We should be planting.
By the way, yawning, can we trigger a yawn? Say you go to Dublin Zoo and you see one of the primates. If we yawn at them, will they yawn back?
I think so. I mean, I think if we can get a dog to yawn, I'm sure we can. Everyone will be yawning in front of the gorillas in Dublin Zoo today.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.